So this morning, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, please. What I wanted to share with you today is, on what you were hearing in the manifestations, is that our main responsibility in life is to stay faithful to God. And we do that by obedience, by walking in love, you know, by keeping the hope deep in our soul. And I wanted to show you this very simply in the scriptures today. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says in verse 1, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." That's, you know, fidelity, faithfulness. This is the first and most important thing. What are you worth if you're not faithful? You know, in any situation, whether it be in your job, your marriage, your to God, first and foremost, you know, the quality that you want in your life is that of a faithful individual. Once you know something is true, you keep it. You know, once you make a commitment, you keep it. And it's number one on the agenda, the way I see it. And if you really want to touch somebody's life, you got to be consistently faithful that way too. Because, you know, people read you like a book. You know, most of us have been around each other a long time. We've sort of read each other like a book already. But I always in, you know, I try to think of everyone in the most positive light that's possible. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody's stupid. Everybody's, you know, screws up. Every single soul. God says all men are liars. You know, it's that you don't make it a you're faithful in lying, then we got a problem, you know. You make a mistake once in a while. We all do that, you know. And the only time we got real trouble is when you want to stay there in that sin. But that is the thing that is absolutely, go to Luke, the most important as far as our life and our walk. And as God said in the manifestations, he will help us to stay faithful and remain faithful. And Luke 16. And it's not just in the super duper things. You know, faithfulness starts with the tiniest of all things. It says in verse 10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon," the things of the world, the unrighteous mammon, "who will commit to you the true riches? And if he has not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," and the things of the world. Mammon's the things of the world. You choose. What's most important? What's the center of your soul? All right, for me, it's my God, my family, and you, in that order. Okay? My God is the one who's given me you and the family, my family. He is the one that I serve and the one that I choose. He's number one priority in life. And No matter what's going on, he's number one in priority in everything that goes on in what I do. You know, so then comes my family, my children, the closest ones to the latter part, all right? And some of them are so latter that you are all before them. But the point is, you know, my immediate family, my responsibility before, but he's, my immediate family, every single one of them has been delivered from death because of my God. So why would I put them first than the God who has delivered them from death? I mean, this to me makes sense, right? I don't know. Oh, we just see it in the Word. It's so practical in front of me. It's unbelievable. You know, it's unbelievably clear to my heart and head. It doesn't get mixed up. You know, later, earlier in my Christian life, it would get mixed up because, well, how does this work, you know? But understanding comes, and then you see what God does, and it gets real clear. I mean, super clear. You know, he that is faithful in that which is least, the little stuff, and you train your kids this way, you train yourself this way. You're going to be faithful. You start with the little things, and you will have the privilege of doing the major. And I'm not just talking about in life. I'm talking about with God also. Right? And just think about what the Lord taught. I mean, what do people consider the little things? Like prayer? You know, like really spending some time talking to your Father in heaven. You know, giving him some time each day. Really seeking what his will is. What would you have me to do? I mean, work within me, Lord. I'm here to serve. You know. And then it says, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's talking about the stuff in your life, okay? If you can't take care of your stuff, you can't take care of anything really important. So you figure that out. It's like tools, you know? I mean, you go to a job, you got tools, and people who work with tools, they take care of them tools. They're all lined up. They're all cleaned up after each and every particular profession. You know, I don't know everybody else's profession. I mean, but everything is in order. And they know where the heck it is. The slob. You know what we call slobs? I call slobs. They don't know where nothing is. It's not efficient. So you really can't get the job done right. You follow me? So even in the things of the world, the more you have your life in order, the more you have it and you're taking care of the little things, God says this is a spiritual truth. It's a spiritual principle. Then you'll be given more to do and more important things to do. See, I can't give if I ain't got, as much as I have in my heart to give and to help, I can't give a blessed thing unless I have provided for myself to be able to do. You know, in Ephesians it says work to have to give. You know, and if you can't get it, then you got nothing to give. As much as you might have it in your soul. Do you see what I mean? You follow me in those things. But I think people miss the little things all the time. What's the most powerful thing, spiritual thing you can do for yourself, for your family, for God, and for anyone else is prayer. It's like faith. Jesus Christ got up a great while before day and prayed. If he needed to pray and spend time alone with God, what the heck do you think you can get away with it without that? If the Christ, the Messiah, needed to spend time in prayer, you and I can get away with it? Oh, we're spiritual. I got If you don't really think this is super important, and you got to fight for that time, because we all have to fight for it. You know, it don't come to us natural. You got to fight for that. Then Jesus had to fight for it. And you got to take whatever's necessary at the time. I don't want to tell you, I could tell you, you could take 15 minutes in the morning. Well, there's some days where you really ought to spend the hour or the two. Or you got a crisis and you just need to stick. You know, and maybe you got to skip the day at work. I don't know. I'm not telling you what to do, how to do it. I'm just telling you. There are moments in life where it's just over the top and you need to change because there's another priority. And the same thing's true. Who's going to give you your own stuff if you can't take care of the stuff that you borrowed? Now, every time, I remember Mary and I would move almost every year. It was like criminal. For the first 10 or 12 years or whatever of our life. And every time we got an apartment, it was a mess. And we clean it, we make it nice, right? We live in it. And then the day we moved out, it was as clean as the day we lit while we were living in it. So we could give it to the next person. That they wouldn't do the same. We wouldn't do the same thing to the next guy that was done to us. You know, you always take everything that we tried to do, we always tried to give it in better shape than when I was given it. It was just a truth, and it was basically off of these verses. You know, Lord says, do to people what you would have them do to you. Well, that was a lot of work to move out of an apartment and then clean it before you give it to somebody you don't even know. But it's what the scripture says. I just do it because God would have us to do it. That's who I was doing it really for. Nobody's going to say, oh, dirty, messy Christians, you know what I mean? They didn't get a chance for that one. But that's not the only, that's just the basics. You know, they're right in front of you. You know, stuff. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Being faithful. It's a lot of work. Second Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. It says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as God in the sight of God we speak in Christ. You know, not the best translated King James verse ever. What does yours say?
It says, for we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God.
Yeah. We don't peddle the Bible to people. We got no agenda. It's not about money. It's not about peddling it. Not about filling up the church. It's not about you sticking in my church. You want to stick in my church? It's okay. You ain't going to take offense. You know what I mean? You stick because you want to stick. You stick because you're blessed and it's profitable to you. I mean, that's the point. I mean, if I serve well, then it should profit you. And if you can be served better, then you ought to go and be served better. You know, it's a ministry. It's not about anything else. But there are people out there who peddle it. And they peddle it, and it's filthy lucre, like the Bible talks about money. There's people who peddle it for You know, oh, I can fill a building. You know, and we don't do it that way. You ain't doing it that way. You speak the word to people because God has blessed and loved you, has profited you, and you choose to teach and to speak and to bring them to Him. We're doing this for God through Christ. And if that's the ministry of reconciliation, that's what we're doing. And that's the motive. And, you know, as many as hundreds or thousands of people that I've had the privilege to teach, I've got tens of thousands that I never had the privilege of teaching. So I never stuck around over the last 45, whatever, God knows how many years. It's okay. John the Baptist ministry lasted whatever it was. And then, you know, he said, well, the Christ is here. So I got to decrease. He's going to increase. Just the way it is, kids. You know, the same thing with Isaiah. Can you imagine being poor Isaiah? The most thrilling moment in his life. Send me. Send me. And God tells him, there's nobody going to ever believe what you say. Not a single soul is going to ever believe a word you say. Can you imagine how lonely? And you want to talk about, he must have been depressed. No, not if he was doing it for God. See, if you get to the point where you got to count your number of people who believed you as success, you're peddling. I'm just doing this for God. Do you see what I mean? So God tells Isaiah graciously, no one's going to hear a blessed thing you got to say. But Isaiah, you read that book. This man is on fire, committed, all out. He don't look like he's depressed. He don't sound like he's having a bad day. He sounds like he is like a trumpeter for God. You know, like a bugle call for the charge. Every day, when nobody responds. This is for the Lord. I mean, that's kind of the difference. He didn't change the message to make it more palatable for the crowd because God told them they're not going to hear me. You follow me? That don't mean you're mean or rash or anything else, because we're going to take you to another scripture here. But that's what God wants. He just wants people who are that faithful. And they're doing it for the right reason, the right motive. They go to Hebrews. We read this one a week or so ago, Hebrews chapter 2. But I just want to bring it back to your attention again. Actually, it's chapter 3 in verse 1. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. This is our profession. You know? Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch that he who hath built the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, all God's house, as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore also the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation of the wilderness. So it gives you, Christ, Moses was faithful, Christ was faithful. And then he tells us, harden not your hearts if you will hear his voice today. So this is sort of like the definite, how do you stay faithful? Today you do the word. Today you do what God says to you. Don't worry about 10 years from now. Today you do God's word. That's all you got to do. That's all you have really in front of you is today. Most people never live their life right now. So I'll wait until I retire. Yeah, my old man did that. He dropped out a year after he did. Enjoy what you got as you go. Enjoy the love of each other today. Enjoy the love of your family today. Enjoy your fellowship with the Father and your time in prayer with him today. Do stuff for today. Tomorrow will come eventually, but then you can enjoy that one too. Isn't that what Jesus taught them? Take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow will have for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You got enough trouble just dealing with today. Worry about 20 years from now or 20 minutes from now. Enjoy this moment. What a blessed moment to be with God and his word. Think about it that way. Christ was faithful. He obeyed the Father. He always did the will of his Father. Moses did the will of God. He wasn't perfect at it, but he did it. He was faithful. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 2 it says, Paul is talking to the believers in Thessalonica. Actually, it's the Lord Jesus Christ telling Paul to talk to them and giving him the words to speak to them. You realize that, right? In all the church epistles, it's always titled, this is from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Paul's just the messenger. A lot of Christian intellectuals don't believe that. These are as much Jesus' words and God's words as the Gospels were. So he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Prayer is like super important, and I know it falls way down on people's list. Don't let it. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and your patience of the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God, our Father. Look at the major categories that they are praying and thankful for. The work of their faith. I mean, that's you're staying faithful, doing the word, obeying the word, living the word, speaking the word, praying in your life, doing the things of God. Big category, all right? Your work of faith. And then it's a labor of love. Like I said, it's not for any other motive. We do what we do as a labor of love. First and foremost, God. I stay faithful to God, and you benefit the people who hang out with me if I'm doing that right. You know, I'm staying faithful to God. My family benefits. And then the patience of hope of our Lord coming. You know, in other words, so you got your obedience and your love, and you're doing the Word of God. You're doing this. The motive is love. And what keeps you locked in, what keeps you, gives you the endurance, is the hope that's set before you. Because you got it. I got a target. You know, an old friend of mine, Linus Mathis, he gave a good teaching on faithfulness one day, and he gave the example of his dad, who put the key in the door to their garage where he fixed cars, pump gas. He said he put the key in the door of that garage every day, sick or not, rain or snow, no matter what. The key turned in that door, and he walked in that shop every day for 40 years or whatever it was. That was, now, he didn't say he wanted to go to work. He didn't say he felt like going to work. It wasn't a matter of that he got a heck of a lot done that day. But the key turned, the door was open, the shop was open every day. There was ups and the downs. There was stuff to do, and there was nothing to do. The key went in the door every day. I thought that was a pretty cool definition of faithfulness. Pretty simple. So prayer, verse 4. Verse 7. First Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 4. It says, But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. See, it's God that has given you. He has entrusted you with the gospel. He has entrusted you. He's the one that allowed this. Verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nursing As a nurse cherishes her children, as a nursing mother cherishes a child. We're to be gentle. And, you know, we get the privilege of teaching this Bible unadulterated. But the way in which we do it, we've been entrusted with spreading the gospel. You do it with gentleness. And being, verse 8, and so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brother, our labor and travail and laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. That's the labor of faith. You know, that's what the labor of their faith looked like. Their motive was love, and they endured because of the hope. But this is what faithfulness involves. And this is kind of what it looks like. You can be, you know, do things and think you're doing it right and be less effective because you're not doing it exactly the way the Bible says. If you really want to be effective, you can be faithful and still be ineffective, right? You can have all the tools and know where they are and still not know how to twist the wrench or go about the project. You know, it's important to read all the rest of the Bible to see how it's supposed to happen, not just the way you know, it's like you meet a brand new person. And unless you're interested in their life, unless you show them that, you know, I'm interested in you, you're important to me, and you're willing to listen them out, why would they listen to you? Why would anybody listen to another sales pitch? soon as that phone rings and it says, well, this is Michelle. I'm calling you on behalf of, and she don't even get a shot. I didn't ask you to call me Michelle. That's it. I don't even say hello anymore. I just. Yeah. So be careful how you call me, because if you want to talk to me, you know, for a personal or whatever, you might get hung up on before just to think that you might be a telemarketer. But no, unless you're interested in them, why would they listen to you? Jesus, people were interested in him because he was doing the things that were before them. They got to see him. You know, he walked up to them. He walked up to Peter. Did you catch anything? He started, hey, it's about you. Did you catch anything tonight? How did business go? How'd the night's work go? I mean, it started with them, didn't it? And it's the simplest way. Then you can get into the things of God when it's time. And you don't have to hit them over the head with Jesus isn't God at the moment or the dead aren't alive. You don't go to a funeral and tell them, no, they ain't in heaven. You know, you got it wrong there. They're in the ground, they're dead. Yes, they are. But we don't have to talk about that right now. We can talk about God's love and that there is an eternity that we're looking forward to. And then later on down in life, when things are a little less raw, we can get to something else. You followed me? Verse 10, we are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believed. These individual believers, they handled themselves with integrity. They walked the walk. They did what they were talking about. There's so many people who do not live what they preach. Again, none of us are perfect. I'm not talking about mistakes. I'm talking about literally you tell somebody you got to do this and then you never do it. Husbands and wives are very guilty of that, right? Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, you also, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. This is the quality of a believer's, these are the things to put on. This is how you walk. Everybody is going to insult or offend or screw everybody else if you hang out long enough with them. Right? Am I wrong? I ain't gonna get an amen. Can I get an amen, somebody? on that wonderfully positive note. It's just human nature. It happens. So what do we do? You walk in kindness and love, humility, long-suffering, and forgiveness. You try to work it out. You talk to your brother. You talk to your sister. You want to work the thing out. You want to smooth it out. You don't just let it go. You don't just, I'm good. And now you got an attitude with this person for the next 2 years. That didn't do it. You may let it go at the moment and come back next week. So, you know, I wasn't real comfortable with or if it comes up again. You figure it. You're adults. You can figure this out. There's sometimes somebody just loses their mind for the moment, and it's an exception, and you don't have to talk to them about it. They just don't do it again. You know? And, you know, I lose my mind once in a while. Just goes away. My Brooklyn comes all the way back. Just in a moment. You know? Doesn't happen all, but it happens. You're kind, loving. You care for each other, your family. You work it out. You do what you got to do. Now, somebody seriously offends you and hurts you, or I've had people steal and talk to them. They say, forgive me, I'll forgive you. That's it. I may not trust you as much as I used to, but you're forgiven. You know, you had you gave them the opportunity to, that was sin against another, and therefore they needed to at least repent of it. Realize this is a flaw in my life, and turn to God and take care of their own business. But, you know, there are other things that you don't need to confront every single thing that comes up every single time. You know what I mean? Yeah, you all know what I'm talking about. But mercy, forgiveness, loving kindness, that's the most, because like I said, you can have great commitment, faithfulness, and be ineffective. You can have obedience to God the way the Pharisees did and be without mercy and end up being a hypocrite. And everybody else is the cop that gives out the tickets for the Christian church. It's not cool. You know? And then you got to keep the hope always before you. Thinking, oh, man, why am I doing this? You're doing this for the reward at the end. Christ was faithful in all his house. 1 John. There was another teaching I thought about. I talked to Luis Carlo in Puerto Rico. Called him over the weekend. And he invited us down again. And I wanted to be there. It'd be a little while. Keep them in your prayers too. Ive's mom has got dementia, and, you know, she's in her high 90s, and it's hard because she can't leave her mom. She's got to take care of her all the time. So it's just hard. There are times in life, is just hard, and that's the way it is, and you just love, and you got to do what you got to do, no matter who the heck you are, what's going on around you. That's just the way it is. And praise the Lord for people who are faithful and loving like that. But so you keep people like that in your prayers. It's not nobody's fault. It's just life. But I was talking to him, and he was talking about it. He says, you know, John, And you know, John, he says, I remember many years ago, Reverend Finnegan, he was teaching, and I'll never forget this. He said, the main thing's got to stay the main thing. Remember that teaching? Keep the main thing the main thing. And it brought back all those beautiful teachings and that thought. And that's sort of also part of the faithfulness thing that I wanted to share with you today, because, you know, what is the main thing? To love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. It's the main thing. You know, this isn't, you know, it's not that hard. Jesus said, my burden is light. You know, and he would give us rest. And I think our attitude ought to be that this burden is light and will give us rest and peace. Let's just keep the main thing the main thing. In 1 John chapter 4, I'll close here, starting in verse 4. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It says, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knows God hears us. He that knows God hears us. Remember Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Don't, if you come across somebody and they're, you know, they can't hear nothing, move on. Just move on. Just go find another one. After a little while, you may come back to them, but just, if you're deaf, somebody's got, you know, headphones on, you can't get through. We are of God, and he that knoweth God hears us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the payment, the propitiation, the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in him, in us, and his love is perfected in us. And hereby know we that we dwell in him. You know that you're walking with him, and that you got God within you. And he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath for to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And the last verse I'll read here, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. See, when the Lord comes back, you will be just shining forth as a light. you will be so blessed and so happy because you're dwelling in his love. And in that day of judgment, you ain't got a blessed thing to worry about. This is just everybody else, it says, are going to mourn. Not you. Not you. Just keep faithful. Just stay faithful. Look to the day he's coming. Stay faithful. Just do what he says. Today, if you will hear his voice, stay faithful. Everything is about the love. You're caring for people. They're not supposed to be there taking care of you. You decide to be the adult in the room. You decide to be the minister for Christ. Okay? Amen. So, God bless all you guys that are online, and we're going to pray and go upstairs and enjoy some food. Like, I think we should, I'm going to soon go on a diet here very soon because I've been enjoying way too much food in these last few weeks. And Christine made one of the most outrageous angel food cakes ever. Brielle was like, "This is the best thing I've ever had in my life." So, I don't know if there's any left, but we shall see. Brielle took it home. Well, maybe Chrissy will bless us with another one day, but the best angel food cake ever.
That's why it went home.
So, Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for this new year coming up, my God, and for your help and blessing and faithfulness to us each and every day. I'm so grateful, Father, for what you have done. And we thank you and praise you and are just so appreciative of every blessing, my God, for our loved ones, for the word of God that we have learned and continue to have set before us, that you continue to work in our heart. I thank you, Father, for your protection and your blessing on every soul. I ask you, Lord, for your continued opening up our eyes to see and causing us to be fruitful, Father, and be a part and a participant and really effective in the ministry, Father. So I love you and praise you. Thank you for the food that we're going to enjoy. And as we eat it, Father, let us think of our Lord and Savior and what he has done. The covenant that he cut, my God, and that wonderful communion. So we praise you and love you. And we love, Father, our Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.